Global Links is a medical relief and development organization dedicated to improving health in resource-poor communities. This Pittsburgh-based nonprofit collaborates with U.S. healthcare institutions and the community to recover hundreds of tons of high-quality, surplus medical materials every year that would otherwise be sent to landfills. Global Links has a direct impact on communities at home and abroad. Since 1989, Global Links has delivered over $200 million worth of critical medical aid through collaborative programs and annually keeps more than 260 tons of usable materials from entering our landfills. I'm delighted to welcome Kathleen Hauer, co-founder and CEO of Global Links, to the studio.
Thanks, Steve. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm looking forward to our conversation today, but I'd really like to begin by talking about what inspired you to start Global Links 25 years ago? Almost 25 years ago.
Yeah, next year will be our 25th year. Kind of hard to believe about something that started around a dining room table with two friends.
Those are sometimes some of the best ideas.
I think that's true. I think lots of good things start around kitchen and dining room tables. So there were three of us that started Global Links, and we really loved the idea of being able from Pittsburgh to do this international work. And we had all worked together before and really thought that there was some interesting things we could accomplish. And, you know, it's that great American way. If you see something that needs to be done, you have to do it yourself.
So what were the first steps that you took? You know, thinking back, you've come a long way, but how did it all start?
Well, you know, I was always interested in medical field and had an opportunity over my lifetime to work both in hospitals and different kind of administrative, kind of low-level administrative jobs. But I really developed an interest in all things medical. And then I worked at the University of Pittsburgh for a while in international studies and sort of gained a really kind of constant interest in all things international and being part of a bigger community and kind of expanding the way I looked at things. And then got to do some work in international medical relief work, and that's where it seemed to all come together for me.
So in terms of the international dimension, where is Global Links active? Which countries do you serve, and how do you serve them?
Yeah, well, our main programs are active in this hemisphere, in Latin America and the Caribbean. And we work in 9 countries in the hemisphere, and many of them are the poorest countries here. We have great partners in the Pan American Health Organization, which is the regional arm of WHO, of the World Health Organization. And in our early days and collaboration with them is kind of how we decided that really we would continue to focus on this hemisphere. And when we first started out, we didn't have a lot of resources. So the closer you could work at home to home, the more you could conserve your resources and have them go further. And the Pan American Health Organization was a perfect partner for us. And
so what about other partners, both locally, nationally, but also internationally?
Yes.
The Pan American Health Organization, of course, being one of the key partners.
Yes. Well, it is really about our partners and collaborating with them. Of course, locally, we work with all of the hospitals in the greater Pittsburgh area to recover materials and talk with and educate staff at the hospitals. We have a permanent liaison person that goes to all the hospitals and talks with staff members about, you know, the needs overseas, the environmental aspect of what we do. And so there's constant kind of development education and being part of their green teams at the hospitals. We also work outside of this general area. We partner with Johns Hopkins Hospital and the University of Maryland Hospitals and in Philly, Thomas Jefferson Hospital. So we have our eyes, we're firmly rooted here in Pittsburgh, but we have our eyes on other communities, too, that have something to offer and want Global Links to come there.
We had a chance to talk a little bit earlier, and you were mentioning some of the inspirations that you had for Global Link, some of the patients that you served as a catalyst in some ways. Yeah.
I think we're inspired at Global Links every day by the stories of the people that we've been able to help. For example, one story comes to mind of a young boy that had a serious heart problem. He was 3 years old, and in one of the countries where we provide sutures, and his physician knew how to fix the problem, but without the right kind of sutures and the right supplies, he couldn't do the surgery. And without the surgery, the little boy was going to die. So being able to provide what was needed for that, and then to get a picture of a healthy boy who has the whole rest of his life, you know, to grow and problem solved, where his parents, you know, were looking at possibly losing that child.
Just one incredible story out of many, I'm sure.
Yeah, and we do a lot with maternal infant care. So providing materials and sutures for emergency surgeries for a C-section. I mean, we have so many stories of women that would have died could they not have gotten a C-section. And one of our board members travels internationally to do volunteer work, and we provide materials for her to take when she travels. And she's an OBGYN, and she was in a hospital providing service there, and they got a call from a hospital maybe 100 miles away. The mother was carrying twins, had delivered one twin, but the birth was a problem. The other child was partially born, but they couldn't complete the process. And the people at the hospital there, they didn't have gloves. They didn't have any of the things that they would need to make the birth complete. So they put that woman in a car and brought her the 100 and some miles away with the baby partially born that she was carrying. Mm-hmm. And Margaret was able to deliver that other baby because they had supplies there. And, you know, people don't realize that hospitals can't function if they don't have things to protect the staff who are doing the surgery too. Sometimes the staff don't want to do the surgery because it puts them at risk too. So they were able to deliver that baby, and it was born kind of floppy and problematic, but they were able to save that child. And the mother saved the mother's life, the baby's life. So that mother had two healthy babies then.
So on some levels, it really comes down to having the supplies, having the materials, and given
yes.
that these surplus materials are available even in abundance in
yeah.
some places in our community.
Well, they're going into landfills every single day.
Well, and so that's where I wanted to go next with our conversation is not only are you doing good through the help that you're providing
right.
in a medical level, but there's also this incredibly interesting environmental
yes.
aspect to the work that you're doing.
Well, you know, hospitals, I always want to be clear that the hospitals are heavily regulated. It's not that they're wasting materials. They're heavily regulated about how long things can stay on the floor, you know, the different changes that are going on in healthcare. I mean, there's surplus built into the system. And one of the things that we do when we work with the hospitals is to help them look at their process. You know, why is this going to not be used as opposed to other things? And what is useful for us? Just because it's never been used doesn't necessarily mean it has a use overseas. So there's a lot of education that goes on. But there's surplus built into the system, partly because what we as consumers expect to have when we go to the hospital too. So isn't it, I call it a win-win-win situation, because it's better for the hospitals, it's better for our environment, and it's certainly better for the people that are receiving the materials. So it's just a perfect marriage of the environment and health, the health of the planet and the health of its people.
You're listening to Essential Pittsburgh. This is Steve Sokol sitting in for Paul Guggenheimer. We're talking with Kathleen Hauer, the co-founder and CEO of Global Links. Kathleen, Global Links has pretty big news. For years, Global Links has been operating at maximum capacity in the space that you've been in, and it's actually had to turn away donations due to space constraints, despite urgent requests for more medical supplies from around the world. Next month, you'll officially open your new world headquarters in Greentree. What does this mean for Global Links and for the services that you provide?
Well, this is an enormous accomplishment for the organization and such a game changer for us. We just recently moved in and are undergoing renovations at a new 58,000 square foot facility that combines three different facilities that we were leasing under one roof now. We have a wonderful warehouse that is completely skylighted. We have a really large volunteer center that is undergoing renovations that are almost complete, where we can welcome all of the volunteers that want to come and be part of our mission. We had to turn away not only materials, but we had to turn away volunteers. We had a 3 to 5 month waiting list for people that wanted to come and volunteer.
Wow, and that is incredible.
Yeah, everybody loves to come and work with us and be part of the mission. And now we can really accommodate all of the people that want to come and be part of what we do. And we're so excited about that possibility of education, of, you know, putting diverse groups together to volunteer, to just, it opens up a whole new world for us.
So tell us a little bit about how you work with volunteers. How do you incorporate volunteers in what you do? I would imagine that some of the work that you do is highly specialized to do the matchmaking of
it is.
Here are the products and here's the need. How do we make sure that the right things get to the right,
right.
places?
Well, that's kind of what's so great about the work that we do, because although we value our medical professionals that come in and volunteer and help us, you don't have to have a medical background to be of significant help to us. You know, you just have to be able to follow directions and, you know, put like items together and look at dating and sizing. And that really provides an enormous amount of help. Our volunteers sort and pack about 90% of all of our supplies. So we call our volunteers the lifeblood of the organization. We love to have people here, and our goal is to bring more and more diverse populations in to be part of. We think everybody can be part of our life-saving mission and part of a bigger global community.
About how many volunteers do you work with?
Well, last year we had about 2,000 volunteers. So in the new space, we have the physical capacity to quadruple that.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. Of course, that won't happen right away because as we review our process, and we're all Toyota process improvement people, so as we look and try different ways to make a better process for us in the new space, we'll be doing lots of experimentation. But, you know, the goal is to eventually to be able to accommodate every person that wants to come and volunteer.
Well, as you said earlier, this move is really a game changer for Global Links.
It's a whole new paradigm for us, I think.
And as you know, consider doubling, eventually tripling, quadrupling your capacity, as you take things to a new level, where do you see the opportunities and challenges moving forward?
I think the opportunities are enormous. We concentrate in 9 countries in this hemisphere, and our goal and our dream has always been to do more in those countries because they need the most help. So being able to add different things to what we do, I mean, we have a lot of materials, and it's easy for everybody to understand the material part. But when people come in and have tours and I'm telling them all about, well, here's the supplies, here are all the materials, and I always say, well, you're going to see a lot of stuff here, but it really isn't about the stuff. It's about improving healthcare and how do we harness, you know, all of the surplus here, which is not just stuff. We have, you know, a surplus of medical know-how here. We have a surplus of ingenuity here, of technology here. How do we garner all of those different areas of surplus to help us do our mission and to help people overseas that are struggling? And we also do a lot in the local community here. So this move will also allow us to do more in the community here.
What kinds of things do you do here in the community?
Well, we provide, aside from providing amazing volunteer opportunities for groups and schools and every part of the community, we also help some of the other nonprofits locally by providing stuff for the free clinics, by partnering. We did a great partnership with Operation Safety Net. We've kind of become a clearinghouse, too, of materials that we have so much of that we can share in the community. We work with the group in Mercer County that aids mobility for people that can't afford to have insurance. So we provide maybe 60% of the mobility things that they use in their community. So there's lots of opportunities like that. Our goal is that none of the stuff be wasted if we can find a use for it. We've helped some of the animal shelters with materials, you know, so there's kind of an endless possibility of partnering with organizations here too as we grow into the space.
So as you mentioned, most of your work has really been in the Western Hemisphere in terms of focusing on really improving health care conditions in Latin America and the Caribbean. And that includes six of the most poor nations in our region. Do you think that this expansion will enable you to expand geographically as well, or do you see your work continuing to be mostly focused on the Western Hemisphere?
Well, we do have an international suture donation program that actually goes outside of this hemisphere. We do a lot of work in Africa. We equip people that are doing volunteer medical service in the countries also that travel outside of the Western Hemisphere to we provide them with materials when they're traveling to do volunteer work. So, and we do projects from time to time outside of our concentrated focus area. So I think there's always an opportunity to do more, especially partnering with some of the local churches that have missions overseas. We've done that before. So I think there's all kinds of possibilities. You know, we love the P word, the possibility and potential. So
it's probably part of what keeps you going. There's always something new that you can do.
The variety of things that we do, it's never dull. It's never boring because there's always some new twist or some new aspect or some new challenge. So it really does kind of keep you on your toes. And the reward is knowing that we're really doing something that makes a difference. And the more people we can bring into that, you know, the happier we all are.
Well, in that vein, I was a little surprised recently when I heard that Global Links had received an award from the Heinz Endowments through their Breathe project. I wouldn't necessarily have made that connection. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, we were really so pleased to get this award. And part of it has to do with, you know, the work, the environmental aspect of what we do. And we've made a commitment to environmental sustainability in the new headquarters. And in our work, we had our trucks refitted to use biofuel. So, and of course, the quality of air here has a lot to do with cars and exhaust. And we were looked at for that aspect of what we do, but also keeping all of these materials out of the landfill and our commitment to educating people about the quality of air. When people come in, we do an orientation that talks about the environmental impact of how we live and the work, international global health issues. We also have our own Breathe Hope project, which gathers nebulizers, which are the little breathing machines that people suffering from asthma use. And especially children need nebulizers. And, you know, asthma is being more identified and probably on the rise in a lot of areas because of different environmental aspects of the air. And so we have a huge program that does that, and we're collecting all of these things, again, that would end up in a landfill that really can save people's lives, because if you don't have a nebulizer when you're having an asthma attack, you can die.
It really seems like a fascinating nexus, if you will, healthcare and the environment. It's not one that one necessarily thinks of putting in the same context, and yet the Heinz Endowments Award is not the only award that you've gotten in this area. I see here that you also won the Champion for Change Environmental Excellence Award from Practice Green Health, which is the nation's leading membership organization for healthcare leaders committed to environmentally responsible practices.
Yes, we're very, very proud of our work with Practice Green Health and the recognition of that. It just kind of coalesces all the things that we believe and that healthcare can really lead in the environmental movement as well. When you put together all of the purchasing power of all of the hospitals around the country and how they're always building and all the different aspects of community health and the things that hospitals and public health systems should be working on, they really are a powerful voice for the health of the planet as it relates to the health of its people. So we're delighted to be in that mix.
So as I mentioned, you have this big news. You have your official opening next month, October 4th and 5th. Would you like to tell our listeners a little bit about what's planned?
Oh, yes. On October 4th, we're going to have our ribbon cutting with some of the members of the political community, Congressman Doyle, Senator Wayne Fontana, the county executive, and Bill Flanagan from the Allegheny Conference is going to be there on Friday morning. We're going to welcome the Airport Chamber of Commerce out. We joined the chamber recently when we moved. So Friday is going to be kind of a business meet and greet. We're going to have the food truck roundup. So come there, have lunch if you're, you know, looking for a place to have lunch while you're that day while you're working. And Saturday is going to be our big community day. We're going to have lots of family friendly things to do and lots of things for children to do. One of our good friends is Davia Davis, who is a glass artist, mosaic artist. She's going to make mosaic with people that want to participate in that. We have our friends from Creative Reuse that's going to be making things with the kids. We have Juggler. We have Annie O'Neill's going to be there with a photo booth. I mean, just lots of really, really great things. And, of course, the food trucks will be there again, so. And
sounds
tours
like
of the
fun.
Organization. It is going to be great fun. So I encourage you, if you're looking for something to do with your kids or you just want to get out and come and see our new digs, please stop by 10 o'clock. I think it's from 11 o'clock in the morning until 3 in the afternoon. It's a great time to come out.
Sounds like a great way to get introduced to Global Links.
Absolutely.
And if you're expanding, you're probably looking for more volunteers, and this is a great way for them
to
sign up.
Come in,
up.
Check us out. This is going to be the opening of our new volunteer center. So after the opening, we'll be scheduling volunteers. So we'd love to welcome back all the people that we had to put on hiatus, but certainly all the new people that now can be part of what we do.
Well, good luck to you. Good luck to Global Links. And Kathleen Hauer, I'd like to thank you for coming into the studio today.
Oh, Steve, it's been a pleasure. And thank you for asking me.
Coming up on Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA, the new girl visits the old town of Alexandria, Virginia. Travel contributor Elaine LaBaume will join me in Studio A. This is Steve Sokol sitting in for Paul Guggenheimer.